People in the world can take things that are in Scripture that are high and lofty and bring them down to a very low and base level. They can take people that are in Scripture that are high and lofty and bring them down, and principles and concepts in Scripture, and bring them down low. And one way that they do that is what we call profanity. And it's really a shame. We grew up around that. We live in a world where we hear that all the time. And sometimes we hear it even when we don't want to, or don't, we try our hardest not to be around that. It still is there. But if you think about the concept of profanity, it's taking something that is high and lofty and bringing it down to an empty, meaningless, base appreciation or lack thereof. There are individuals in Scripture like God and Jesus Christ that are used in a profane way, and you know what I mean by that. There are principles in Scripture like the realm of eternal punishment, hell, and the divine judgment of damnation. You hear those words used in a profane way. These are things that are meant to be serious and high and lofty and holy, God and Jesus Christ. And yet through profanity, the devil has gotten people to just bring that down to nothing. That which is supposed to be important in our life, that which is supposed to be serious, and that which is supposed to be a priority in our life, it gets dismissed glibly with the tongue, and it's used so much that nobody even cares anymore. One such statement that I've heard growing up is the statement, "For Christ's sake." And that's what I want to talk about this morning. This is something that has gotten cheapened. This is something that has gotten devalued. And it's a high and lofty principle that I want to remind us of this morning. That our entire life is lived for Christ's sake. I appreciate Daniel leading those songs this morning to praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. And we sang about His great love so that we can be saved from sin. And Jesus, I love Thee. We're talking about the divine Son of God. We're talking about the sinless, perfect One who is deity, who is God in the flesh, and who rules and reigns at the right hand of God. We don't need to cheapen Him with a cheap, profane expression, and yet so many people do. I want us to be reminded, our lesson this morning is not about profanity. Our lesson this morning is that everything we do is for Christ's sake. And so I want to look at that expression this morning in the New Testament, and remind ourselves of that lofty principle. So I asked the question this morning then, in thinking about this, when you get up each morning and you're gonna live your Christian life, and I'm thinking specifically about living the Christian life, why do you live the way you live? Well, I don't know, I just get up and live. Well, think about that. Why? What's our motive each day? What's our reason? What's our purpose each day? Why do we exist as a Christian? We're going to learn this morning that it involves, I'm living for Christ's sake. And we're going to look this morning at the different things that we find in the New Testament that are tied to Christ's sake. And we may be surprised that there's quite a few of them, and it's going to hopefully change our thinking and our outlook on how we face life. And I speak for myself, sometimes I forget, oh, I'm doing this for Christ's sake. Brethren and friends, that's not a profane expression. That's a lofty principle that I want us to be reminded of this morning. What does it mean to do something for the sake of someone else? What does that mean? Well, first of all, it speaks of the purpose or the reason why I'm doing something. There is someone that is causing me to have a certain purpose or reason for my actions, or there's something that God wants in my life. And so it really raises the question, what is my aim? When I get up each day, I have to have a reason or a purpose or an aim. What is that? Or who is that? You see how that dictates and controls our entire actions throughout the day. So number one, when you speak of Christ's sake, you're talking about the purpose for which we do something, the reason for which we do something, the aim or the goal that we have each day. And it's not me, and it's not the world, and it's not the things of this life. It's Christ. So it speaks to aim or goal. When you talk about the sake of Christ, number two, it speaks to motive. Why am I doing something? Why am I acting a certain way? Why am I telling the truth instead of a lie? Why am I sexually pure instead of sexually impure? Why am I honest instead of dishonest, etc.? What's my motive for acting the way I act at school or work or when I go to Kroger? Why am I doing this? It speaks to that, and we're going to see that this morning. Jesus rebuked people, Jews, in Matthew chapter 6 for having wrong motives. They were doing right things, but they had wrong motives for doing that. God looks at our motives, not just our actions. He looks at the motives behind the actions. He looks at both. Why are we here this morning, for example? So number two, it speaks to motive. And we should be asking ourselves the question, why am I doing this? Number three, it speaks to the value or the benefit of something. We all look for that, don't we? Cost benefit, right? If I go to the store and lay some money down for something, I want to be getting some benefit for that. Those eggs better be pretty good at $6 a carton. They better be pretty good. I'll tell you what. So we've got to be thinking value or benefit. It might be the taste of food, or it might be what a product is going to do for us, a piece of technology. We're always looking for value or benefit. So in other words, is it worth it? I'm just now seeing that should be, is it worth it? Take the Y off. Is it worth it? Well, Christ's sake is going to answer that. Because sometimes we have to go through some things that are difficult, as we'll see in a minute. And number four, it speaks to focus. Who or what is life all about? And there's so many people in the world that have lost track of that. They don't know up from down. They don't know what the goal is and the focus is. They don't have a spiritual compass that points north, if you will, that keeps them on track. And so if I'm doing something for Christ's sake, that lets me know what life is all about. It's not about me. It's not about the things around me. It's about Christ. And we sang in that first song about praising Him for His excellent greatness. It's about Christ. And so this morning, let's look at this common expression that is used in the New Testament that so many times in life has gotten cheapened. I don't hear it as much, and I would be perfectly fine if it went all the way out of our vocabulary in a profane way. I would be perfectly happy with that. But in the right way in Scripture, we are to do our entire life for Christ's sake. Let's examine that. Number one, do you know that we suffer for Christ's sake? Somebody says, well, you know, I'm undergoing a lot of problems right now. I have problems and I have issues, and we do have those things in life. But let's remember that it's for Christ's sake. Christ is the person. He's greater than I am. There is a person out there, Christ, who is greater than I am. There's a cause out there that is greater than I am. Sometimes we get up each day, well, it's all about me. No, it's not about me. It's about Christ. There's someone greater than me, little old me. Christ is greater than I am, and His cause of saving the world, the gospel cause, the church cause, the Christ cause, that's greater than I am. And when it comes to suffering, which I have to undergo from time to time, I'm doing it for Christ's sake. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all evil against you, all manner of evil falsely, for my sake. Underscore that in your Bible. For my sake. Now, there are some people that suffer because of their own sin. That's true. That's another sermon. But sometimes we have to suffer for living right. And living by biblical principles, and we're going to do the right thing, we're going to do the Christian thing, we're going to do the right thing, and we get beat down for that in some way. Remember, when that happens to you, you're doing it for Christ's sake. Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 12, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. We're going to talk about endurance later in the lesson. Jesus said with regard to the destruction of Jerusalem, then they shall deliver you up unto tribulation and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. Have you ever thought about the fact that a lot of times we undergo persecution because we're trying to live right? Remember, it's for Christ's sake that you're doing that. And you can hold your head up high. It's for Him and for His cause. And remember the greatness of Him. Jesus said in John 15, while He's encouraging His disciples one last time. Judas is gone and he's got the 11 and they're going through Jerusalem and they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's trying to build them up in John 14, 15, and 16 and then the prayer in chapter 17. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. And that's true today. People persecute Christians because they don't know the Lord. But look at what he says. They will do it for my name's sake. There's many places in the New Testament where this is mentioned. When the Lord is talking to Ananias about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, I will show him, Saul or Paul, how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. When Paul, in the book of Acts, you read about Paul, he's being stoned and shipwrecked and all these things that he has to go through, beaten with rods. That wasn't because Paul was misbehaving. He was following Christ. And he would have to endure a lot for Christ's sake. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11, when he talks about himself and the other apostles, we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Why are we doing all of this? What's the reason for all of this, Jesus? What's the cause for all of this, Jesus? What's the motive for me to go through all of this, Jesus? I'm trying to follow my Lord. And sometimes it's going to bring problems. But I'm doing it for His sake. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul talking about himself. I take pleasure in weaknesses and in injuries and in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. This is what allows him to get through this, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. What helps me to get through this? I'm doing it for Christ's sake. So the next time that happens, remember that. What we learn, brethren, is this. Knowing this and being reminded of this helps us to make it through difficult times. So many people want to quit. So many people want to give up. Remember, you're doing it for Christ's sake. Well, this is hard. Yeah, it's hard. But it's for Christ's sake. Well, it makes me feel bad and I have sleepless nights and my health is messed up. Absolutely. But you're doing it for Christ's sake. Well, I cry, and I have to pray a lot, and I don't feel good. Yeah. Talk to Paul about that. He'll tell you about that. But you're doing it for Christ's sake. And what a high and lofty cause that is. And it also helps us not to take it personally. Boy, I'll tell you what. There have been times, man, I come home complaining to Sherry. They said this to me, and they did this to me, and me. And young people, somebody says something to you at school for the way you're trying to live as a Christian, don't take it personally. You're living for Christ's sake. And Jesus said in John 15, they're doing it because of me. They don't like me. That's why they don't like you. And it's good to remember that. Because in the heat of the moment and somebody's doing it, me, it's really not about me. I'm just living the Christian life. And I'm undergoing all of this for Christ's sake. And I'm going to keep doing it because He's my Lord and Savior and I want to go be with Him for all eternity. And you can beat me up all you want. It's not going to faze me. I'm doing this for Christ's sake. What a great thing. Well, we also learn from Scripture, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39, Matthew 10, 39. We lose for Christ's sake. And lose here is not in the sense of like you lose a ball game. Lose here is the sense of give up. Loss in the sense of being willing to give up things. And Jesus said, again, to the 12 sending out, he that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life is willing to give up things to serve the Lord. To lose his life for my sake shall find it. Do you know that we lose things for Christ's sake? We do. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29, after talking with the rich young ruler who just walked away and he didn't want to lose anything. He didn't want to give up. He had great possessions. He didn't want to give up what he had and give to the poor and come follow Jesus. After talking about that, and after Peter and the others asked Jesus, well then who can be saved? Jesus said, everyone that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. We give up things for Christ's sake. Sometimes we need to give up something in order to be here and assemble. There's all kinds of things that could be done on Sunday, but we're going to give up some stuff and be here. And when we give the contribution we give, and we might have to give up personal pleasures or personal desires or opinions or things of the world in order to serve Christ. We might have to give up erroneous doctrines and falsehoods and a bunch of other stuff. Immoral behavior. Whatever. And we do it for Christ's sake. It's worth it, in other words. Remember one of the points earlier in the lesson, it teaches us the value and the benefit of something. When we're doing it for Christ's sake, it's worth it, and we're going to get what we need to get in this life, and then look at the verse, and in the life to come, eternal life. It's worth it. Somebody says, well, is it worth it? Yes, anytime we do something for Christ's sake, it is worth it. So let's be willing to give those things up. Knowing that we lose for Christ's sake helps us to keep our priorities straight about material things. It's just material stuff. It's just material stuff. Work is important, but it's just work. School is important, but, you know, keep it in perspective. It's just school. And if I need to give up something in order to be here, and there have been people who have given up sports on Wednesday night in order to be here. There are people that have given up personal likes and desires in order to be a Christian. It's worth it. Keep our priorities straight. Put the kingdom first, Matthew 6:33. And when we do things for Christ's sake, it helps us to keep our priorities straight. The rich young ruler, he had a great attitude. Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? He had a great attitude. He was raised in a good family. He was raised to keep the commandments and all that. But he had his priorities wrong. He loved possessions too much. He didn't want to give it up. And it also helps us to focus on our eternal reward. If me giving up some things in this life and making some sacrifices in driving the distance to be here, that's a great sacrifice. When I was in high school, we drove 45 miles one way. It was over 50 minutes to get to the building, three times a week, all through high school. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying my parents had their priorities straight. And I was raised with that, and I appreciate them for that. Wednesday night, we got home very late. Very late. So it may be a sacrifice in distance to be here. It may be a sacrifice in other areas. When it comes time to be present for a gospel meeting or other kinds of things, to rearrange our schedules to where the Lord is first. And so the gospel meeting is first and the VBS is first and other types of things like that. I'm just going to arrange some things and give up some things. Because it's for Christ's sake. And it'll be eternally rewarded. What a great, lofty principle. You know, we are fools for Christ's sake. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, again, there's two. There are different places where this idea of foolishness comes up, but in 1 Corinthians, if you'll turn with me there, this idea of foolishness actually shows up in the first four chapters because Romans and Greeks especially said that Christ in the gospel was foolishness. This is foolish for you to have a Savior. And the Romans didn't like this. The Romans said a Savior and a conqueror, he is a mighty one. But you've got this Jesus of Nazareth over here who's this weak person that got killed on a cross. What kind of a leader is that? And then the Greeks would laugh that because that's ridiculous that you got this guy who claims he came back from the dead. We all know that there's no resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. But you got this guy coming back from the dead. That's foolish. That's the context of what Paul is saying here in the first four chapters of Corinthians. You people are foolish. Especially the Greek world would say in Corinth. And he says, we are fools for Christ's sake. But you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You have glory, we have dishonor. He's talking about himself and the apostles who go around and get beat up, literally and otherwise, verbally. And he said, I am perfectly happy to be a fool for Christ's sake. And you know we have to do that sometimes today. Oh, really? God created the universe. Right. That doesn't match science and evolution, so y'all are a bunch of fools. And you still believe in that resurrection of Jesus thing. That's foolish. And you believe that Jesus walked on the water. Yeah, right. That's foolish. You see? And religious people today, they're put down. They're, well, y'all are a bunch of buffoons and, you know, quacks and all these quirky ideas. We're the intelligentsia. We're the smart ones. We're the educated ones. We're the ones with high IQs. Y'all, a bunch of people don't know anything. I'm happy, and I know you are, to be happy to be a fool for Christ. If that's what you want to call me, have at it. But I know, like Paul said, I know who my Redeemer is. Yeah. I know the truth of the Word of God, and it's based on evidence, and that's what Jeff is doing in the high school class this quarter. He's showing them the evidence. This is not just some check your brains at the door back here and come in and a bunch of foolish people and, you know. Now listen, there is some behavior among religious people that's borderline foolish. Yeah, there is that. But we don't engage in that kind of thing. And we're basing our life on the truthfulness of the evidence and things that actually are. And Paul, on the way to Damascus, sees the resurrected Lord. He receives a message from Him. Paul knows the truth. And if you want to call me a fool for Christ, that's your business. Have at it. I don't care. And so today, it helps us to endure the mockery and the ridicule. And boy, it is out there. And young people often face it when they get to the college and the university level and other kinds of things. And even before them in social media, there's plenty of mockery and ridicule to go around for religious people. And you just remember, young people, you're doing it for Christ's sake. And you hold your head up. Don't worry about that. You just ignore that. We need to be developing a psyche as we're raising our kids and even our younger ones here, teenagers and so forth. Have a psyche that is willing to just ignore some things. Sometimes today I'm afraid that the young people haven't learned to ignore. They just ignore it. You don't have to listen to everything that is said or texted or typed. Just ignore it. Just ignore it. And that'll be a very helpful thing. And there's going to be plenty of this in our world today. And you've got to just simply ignore it. You know, we're servants for Christ's sake. We serve Christ. And Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. It's good to be reminded that when we get up each day, we're serving Christ. It's not about us. He's our Master and our Lord. We're going to say something about preaching in just a minute, but Paul is talking about preaching here. It's not about him. It's not about the preacher. When I stand up here, it's not about Chris Reeves. And when I'm teaching Bible class, whether it's the little kids or on up, it's not about the teacher or the preacher. It's about Christ. We're not preaching ourselves. We're simply servants. We're a vessel. We're a vessel is all we are. To get people to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to teach them and to preach to them. We're servants for Christ's sake. And knowing this helps us to serve others when it's hard to do so. Have you ever thought, well, yeah, I don't know if I want to do that in the local church. I don't know if I would want to go over to their house and take them something or visit somebody or do this or do. We're servants. And Paul says, we are your servants for Christ's sake. Look at that again. Ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. Paul is serving the Corinthian brethren for the sake of Christ. And it's a reminder that when we need to be serving our brethren here at Warfield Boulevard, that we're doing it for Christ's sake. We're not doing it to score spiritual brownie points for ourselves. That was the problem with the Jews in Matthew 6. They would go do alms and they would sound the trumpet. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm doing something. We don't do it for ourselves. We do it for Christ's sake. And so when it's hard and when it's a sacrifice or it's late in the day or I've worked all day or whatever, I'm doing this and it's for Christ's sake. It's for His cause. His cause is greater than I am. It's what He wants me to do. And it's so helpful to remember that. And it's also helpful to remember that He's our real Master. men are not. Paul said, and I think we need to be reminded today of 1 Corinthians 7:23, become not bondservants of men. We're in a culture now where man is just wanting to rule and reign over every aspect of your life. We forget 1 Corinthians 7:23. Now, I'm going to get, if you'll just hold on a minute, I'm going to get to the idea of obeying civil government. We're going to get to that next, as a matter of fact. But just remember this principle in 1 Corinthians 7:23. Become not bondservants of men. You can get to the point where man has just got his thumb on every little aspect of your life, and you better do what he says. Christ is my master. I serve Him. And it's a good reminder. Now, on that matter of civil government, lest I be misunderstood, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. I will hasten to say that we are subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2. There's a few more things I want to say here in the context, even though I did not mention that on the PowerPoint. We don't need to become bondservants of men. We have to use judgment in our lives. Is this simply just oppression? Jesus talked about this in Matthew 23. He said that they bind heavy burdens, which are heavy to be borne, and they will not bear them themselves, but they make you bear them. There's things that man puts on you where they got the power to do it, so they just do it. And then there are other things that involves civil law, that are backed up by spiritual principles, Romans 13, those ordinances that are for the production of good in society, not just, hey, I can run roughshod over you, those things, Peter says, be subject to those things. So I'm not encouraging civil disobedience this morning in the sense of, well, you just disobey all laws of the land. We're subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The caveat or the exception to that is, of course, we know from Acts chapter 5 when Peter said we must obey God rather than men on things where man is making us do something that's contrary to the Word of God. But notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, this statement is in verse 13. But notice this, look at verse 16. We're not to use our freedom as a cloak of wickedness, but as bondservants of God. Look at verse 13. Subject to every ordinance of man, but then we have the statement in verse 16, bondservants of God. Now which is it? Well, it's both. We're to be subject to man, verse 13, but we also have to be a servant of God, verse 16. And so when man is asking us, verse 13, to do something that is contrary to me being a bondservant of God, then I must disobey that. That's right. And from time to time, there are those kinds of things. I won't get into current examples of that, but there are plenty of current examples that I could mention this morning where man is making somebody do something that is actually contrary to something in the Word of God. However, look at verse 18. If we're talking about things in man's law that are not contrary to the Word of God, we must do them even if it's difficult to do them. So verse 18, servants be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward or those who are harsh. There's going to be some situations that are going to be harsh. Look at verse 20. You might be buffeted for it, but you take it patiently. So, knowing that we're subject to every ordinance for the Lord's sake, provided that's not contrary to the Word of God, I do those things, and even if I have a harsh person right over me, I keep doing those things because it's a part of doing it for the Lord's sake, and it's a part of doing it for, verse 19, for a conscience toward God. It's a part of me serving God. 1 John 2, verse 12, we're forgiven for Christ's sake. We're forgiven for Christ's sake. When there is sin in our life, and it needs to be washed away in baptism. Or I'm an erring child of God and I need to come back to the Lord in some way and repent. When I need to have forgiveness of sins, it's all done for the Lord's sake. I write unto you, my little children, because your sins are forgiven you for my name's sake. Why do I need to become a Christian this morning? Why do I need to go down into this water of baptism? For the Lord's sake. Yes, I get some benefit from it, but ultimately it's about Him. We're going to conclude this morning, it's all about Him. That's the point. It's all about Christ. Sometimes when a young person or someone else is thinking, well, you know, I don't think I need to be baptized. I. Let's get out of the mode of I and be thinking, well, what would Christ want me to do? I'm forgiven for His name's sake. It's about Him. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that came and lived as a man. He's the one that sacrificed. It's for His sake that I'm forgiven. Again, we do get benefits. We get remission of sins and we get other spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1, 3 and following. But ultimately, John says, we're forgiven for His name's sake. That's the purpose and the goal and the aim of all of it. Why wouldn't I then come forward during the invitation song and make my life right with God? Why wouldn't I do that if it's for Jesus' sake? Who can stop me? Who can resist that? It's about Jesus Christ. And when I know that, when I'm reminded of 1 John 2 and 12, and when I'm reminded of these passages, it helps me to know some things and remember some things. And in this case, it reminds me to be humble and grateful for what I have. I was forgiven, verse 12, for His name's sake. Praise God. Isn't that how we began this morning's psalm? Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. I'm humble and I'm grateful and I'm appreciative because all of it is for Christ's sake. Do you know that we go out and teach others? Turn with me to 3 John in verse 7. I'm preaching this morning for Christ's sake. And when you teach a Bible class and when you do a home Bible study and when you do personal work and when you talk with your neighbor, do you know that you're doing it for Christ's sake? First of all, that should encourage us to do more of it. But when we do it, it's for His name's sake. Because that for the sake of the name, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. John is talking about people, verses 5 and following, who went out in the first century. The apostles and itinerant preachers and brethren who would preach. And sometimes they did that at great cost and sacrifice. And they would make these journeys. Because that for the sake of the name, they went forth, and some of them were taking nothing of the Gentiles. Some of them would not be supported to do that. They just did it because they loved to talk to others about the gospel. And that's why we do it. And this is the same, I believe, as 2 John verse 2, where John talks about the truth's sake. We preach and teach, whether it's publicly, whether it's in this pulpit or back in the classroom or at home around a coffee table or whatever, for His name's sake. It's about Christ, and let's take that message to the lost. It's not about us. It's not about us. Years ago, preachers used to talk about hiding behind the cross. It's not about us. It's not about the teacher or the preacher. It's about the truth's sake and the high value of the truth. Buy it and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. And it's about the truth of Jesus and His life and His name and all that He stands for. The name, His authority. That's why we do it. And so if there's any hardships involved in that, let's undergo that. It's for Jesus' sake. If there's any challenges or sacrifices, if there's any difficult circumstances, let's do that. I wanted to brag just a little bit on both Mario and Ben, whom we have been supporting over the last few months. Let me encourage you to email them and correspond with them. If you keep in touch with them on a regular basis, you will see the great sacrifices that they're making just simply to share the gospel. Mario rides all over the place on this little motorcycle. Right now it's raining every day over there. There's mud everywhere. And you see some of the pictures that he sent. Sitting on dirt floors. Baptized two or three people just yesterday in this little old blow-up swimming pool that somebody over here would say, well, I'm not getting in that. Just all kinds of sacrifices and things that are difficult. And yet they just keep preaching. They love the Lord and His message. They're not doing it for any kind of earthly accolades, and they're not doing it for the support. Paul says a preacher can be supported. We greatly appreciate that when we are, but it's not for that. It's not for notoriety. It's just simply to preach and teach for the name's sake. And then Ben, I wanted to tell you briefly that at the beginning of February, just a few days ago, he stopped all of his secular work. He was teaching at a high school. He was teaching business classes at a high school. And he'd been planning for months to quit that job. So he's now down about $200 a month in support. And he said, I just want to be full-time preaching. And teaching in this school is fine, but it's taken me away from so much that I can be doing every day in preaching the gospel. He's not asking for more support. He's not asking for any of that to be replaced. He's just preaching for the name's sake. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it's not going to change his mind. He just wants to preach for the name's sake. They make great sacrifices. And when we hear, whether it's teaching a Bible class or preaching or personal work at home or something, let's be willing to undergo whatever circumstances it is. And the next time we think, well, you know, I might have to go down to the building on a nice paved road, not on a motorcycle in the mud, but on a nice paved road in an air-conditioned car to do a little work on my classroom or something. Let's do that, whatever it takes. To volunteer, to teach, and to preach, and to stand up. And if we can go to another country, do that. And the elders have given me the green light to go back in August to Ghana, and I appreciate them for doing that. I look forward to doing that. And we're going to be planning that over the next few months. And if you want to give individually toward that, that'll be great. But to be willing to do something, why? For the name's sake. That's the only reason we do it. And what a great cause that is. And it helps us to teach, not for personal gain or attention, but to just simply see people baptized into Christ. And what a great thing. And then last of all, and we'll close with this point, we're told in Scripture that we endure for Christ's sake. Whatever hardships we're undergoing in this life right now, and some are, and we're mindful of that, and we make announcements about that, and we keep you in our prayers, and we have challenges and issues, I want you to know that Jesus says, with regard to the church there at Ephesus, you have patience and did bear for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Now, they had their problems at Ephesus. They lacked some love, and they needed to get that back. It's another lesson. But they were bearing up under that first century Roman persecution and Greek persecution. Roman was often physical in nature. Greek was often philosophical persecution in words that were said, you fools. And you're bearing up under that. And you've not grown weary. Knowing this helps us to keep going when times are tough. We're doing it for the Lord's sake. We don't have to undergo, that I know of, here in the United States, physical kinds of persecution like first century Christians did, but even if it was physical, when the body is being hurt in some way, you're thinking, this is for Christ. Or mentally, if somebody is saying something to you, you're thinking, this is for Christ. I can bear it. It's not going to be a problem. It's for His sake. It's for His cause, who is greater and bigger than I am. Our whole life is lived for Christ's sake. That's really what it boils down to. And remembering that will help us to have that right perspective. It will help us to have that right purpose and goal in life. When we get up each day, we know what the value and the benefit is of what I'm doing. We know what the focus is. We know what our motive is. We know what our purpose and reason is. It's all for Christ's sake. He's the whole of my life. And if that needs to begin with you this morning by coming and being baptized into Christ, you will be forgiven for His name's sake. And we would love to assist you in doing that, or if you need to come back in some way. But let's go out this week remembering what our goal is in every aspect of our life. We live in a world where so much attention is on me and that type of thing. We know as a Christian, it's all about Christ. And let's go out and demonstrate that in our life this week. And I hope that our lesson, Jesus' words, Paul's words, Peter's words, John's words, I hope they were encouraging us to do it all for Jesus' sake. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?